Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. Somewhere to my left or my right is my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. I'm going to have to practice that so you guys can't rib me about it anymore. I don't know where I'm pointing when I'm trying to point at stuff.
That's the thing we've been going through. Let me introduce our guest first before we get into that. We have David Howard Thornton, Art the Clown from the Terrifier movies. David, how are you this evening?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
You're fabulous. It's great to have you on. Yeah. You know, as we talked off air, I mentioned that we had actually spoken a few weeks back on my other podcast, which I'm not shamelessly plugging here, but The Big Scary Show. And it's great to have you back again. And this time I can see you.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
That's our podcast format, and this is a different one. So I'm happy for this. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Sorry, I don't have a better setup. I'm having to use my cell phone because my laptop likes to crap out on me when it comes to Zoom for some reason. Likes to just make me silent. I become Art on there. It's like it cuts out all audio, and I'm like, so I'm just sitting there thinking I'm just telling a great story, and all they're hearing is. Like, oh God.
Well, you know, phones work just fine with us. We've had many a guest that's been on just their phone and the videos come out great.
Cool. That's all that matters then. Just looks like, you know, I'm doing one of those little shaky cam videos, I guess.
So I'm gonna let Donnie start off with some questions about Art the Clown.
Yeah, absolutely. I am a huge slasher fan. Slasher's my thing. That's what I'm into. And I like, you know, like I don't like the big budget movies as much as I do like the independents or the lower budgets. Like, you know, I'm a big Jason guy, of course. The Hatchet series was awesome. And then I saw your movie Terrifier when it came out in 2017, and I just absolutely loved it. And I was telling Jim this earlier, it had one of the most unique kills I've ever seen. I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about.
But, oh, yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Does it involve a hacksaw?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's the scene that made every woman have the same reaction that the guys have to, you know, when we see another guy get kicked in the balls. So it's just
right.
Like, woo!
Yeah.
God!
Yeah, and I enjoyed everything about that movie, and like I said, it was a good slasher, a lot of suspense and tension. And actually, I rewatched it again last night just so I could have it fresh on my memory again, because being a former wrestler with six, you know, brain concussions and a brain bleed, I don't remember a whole lot good. So so I sat there in the dark last night and rewatched it again and liked it just as much as I did the first time.
Right.
And so that movie was successful, and we know like pretty much everybody that knows Terrifier knows that 2's coming out soon.
Yeah.
Have you guys got an official start date? I know COVID pushed everything back.
COVID's been a pain in the butt this year because we were almost finished filming. I think we had maybe like 2 weeks left of filming, and then boom, COVID. So it's like, great. So it's like, we're almost finished now, though. I have one last scene to film. We had to wait for the weather to get a little bit cooler because it was too hot for me to film in the summer with all that makeup on, because we tried it and I ended up looking like a stroke victim halfway through. My face just started melting off. And every time we cut, Damien would have to reattach something to my face. It was just like, it was sad. It was, at one point I looked like I had two mouths because like my chin was just hanging right off my face. it was interesting, but you know, we got through it. You know, it was like, I hope they got some good footage out of that.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm assuming they're going to have as many interesting kills in this one as in the first one.
Oh my, this last kill that we got coming up is, I think it might rival the hacksaw scene from the first film. It's
nice.
Pretty out there with a pretty, I'm starting to sound like Larry David over here. Pretty gruesome. And we actually started filming the first part of it back in February, and we at that point we it was just like, okay, we got to now build the prosthetics for the rest of the scene. So, you know, we were going, okay, we'll come back in a few weeks and film the rest, and then COVID happened. But when we're filming that night, just the beginning parts of the scene, one of our crew members, who was a huge horror junkie, had to excuse himself from the set because he's like, I this is too much. This is
wow.
He was getting woozy. He was just like, I guys, and it's like you would never look at this guy and think this is a guy that would get woozy either. So you're just like,
yeah, so you're getting me all giddy and excited now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's like when it makes the crew get grossed out, you know you're doing something right. So
it's, absolutely.
Yeah. It's going to be something else. I just, cause we figured, like, you know, why not just throw everything we have into this? It's just like, let's just, you know, swing for the fences and just, you know, have fun.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like we're not trying to be in like a Jordan Peele type of like just serious thought provoking movie. We're like, let's just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do crazy stuff. And, you know, hopefully people like it. We like it, but.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I did.
Yeah.
And how much input do you have on the Art the Clown character? Is like, do you have more, pretty much free reign on as your creativity goes?
I would say it's pretty much 50-50 with Damien and I. It's something we've both worked on together to develop him, because like when we first started filming Terrifier 1, like the first thing I did in the chair when I was doing my makeup was like, okay, tell me everything about this guy. Tell me his backstory, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I could really understand the character more. Mm. And Damien's like, you know what? I really don't know. Let's just figure it out together.
Right.
Because he's like, yeah, he's just like, I just thought he was a creepy killer clown. That's it. And it's like, oh, let's develop him more then. It's like, so that's what we've done during this whole thing. So like when it comes to scenes, you know, it's like sometimes I'll have ideas and I'll run it by him and, you know, he'll give me the approval or not. And sometimes he's like, yeah, let's try two different ways. We'll try his way. And he's like, okay, Dave, why don't you do your thing now? And we'll see what we can come up with, because like Damien's really good with the scary stuff. Mm-hmm. That's his thing. He understands what's really freaky. Sometimes he'll write stuff and ask me to do things. I'm like, why am I doing this? And I just have to trust in him. And when I see the playback, I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Let's see what you're going for now. It's like, cause we're always trying to like walk that fine line of, you know, scary and also funny. And we don't want to be too funny with things. We don't want to get campy territory. So that's a fine line that we've had to walk several times. So like, there've been things that, you know, I've done on set where they're like, everybody's just dying laughing, but we're like, yeah, we're probably not going to be able to use that because it's just too funny.
Right.
It's
interesting you said that, cause that was going to be one of my questions. One thing that's unique about the Art the Clown character that I found is, you know, just like with Jason, you know, Jason's Jason. He doesn't talk. He you know, he stalks his prey and he kills him. You know, yeah. Freddy Krueger's, you know, comedic, you know, but Art the Clown is like both in my eyes. You know, there's one side to where, you know, like when you just do the big cheesy smile out of nowhere and, mm-hmm. you know, and people are, you know, you want to laugh at it or smile at it and, you know, chuckle. And, but in the back of your mind, you're like, oh man, this dude about to fuck somebody up, you know? Yep. And then like at the same time, just like at the scene in the pizza shop, when you're sitting at the table and you're just staring, you know, a hole through them girls.
Yeah.
And it was just like so psychotic looking. And then again, same reaction, like, oh, this guy about to fuck somebody up, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just all, and really enjoyed it. How it was like the scary side where you're staring a hole through them. And then just seconds later, you made it comedic by the big smile, yeah. and the, you know, getting the ring and all that kind of thing. And that was very unique as a slasher character, I thought.
Well, that's what's so much fun about the character. He's got different, you know, layers to him. So you don't see that a lot with especially silent, you know, horror villains. You know, mm-hmm. you can get that more out of Freddy and Chucky because, you know, they're able to actually talk. But, you know, it's right. hard to do when you're silent to show different, you know, layers of the personality. And with that Art, you know, is, I guess, because you're able to see the, you know, the full expression of his, you know, his face and everything. He's not really hidden behind a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So he can, I like those moments where it seems like he's being funny for 1 second and then he just becomes serious.
Right.
And I think those are really fun moments to do too. It's like, oh God. Oh crap.
Yep. Yeah, I thought that was just awesome. I'd never seen, you know, a character be multi-dimensional like that, to where it just in a matter of seconds you can get the same reaction, but go from like comedic to, you know, frightening.
Yeah. Oh, that's us. You know, I like characters like this. Like, you know, like my favorite villain of all time is the Joker. And Joker's like that as well at times, where he's like, he's one moment cracking a joke and all of a sudden he's just pissed. Mm. It's like, oh, and I think that's even scarier when he changes like that.
Right, yeah. And you actually played the Joker in the Nightwing YouTube series. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's just it was a fan-made web series that a bunch of my friends and I decided to make. It's just like they brought me into the third season as the Joker, and it was fun. It was just we would just get together and film, and like that they had some really good writers on, like the guy that wrote all the Joker scenes. I was just like, man, he understands Joker. He knows how to write a good Joker scene. He knows how to write his dialogue, because you know Joker's all about the monologuing, and you know, just he's so full of himself, and it's but he has those moments where it's just like he's speaking some real truths there too, about especially with sanity and, you know, human nature. And I think that's really fun. And it's and I love the character. So it's like, yeah, I'm like, I didn't get paid to do it, but I didn't care. I'm like, I get to do the Joker. I just get to go put on the makeup and be Joker for a few hours a day. I'm like, that's the dream come true.
Right. Yep.
This, it really tickles me because my favorite hero is Batman.
Yes.
So I've even got a Batman tattoo right there.
Love it. Love it. Oh, right. I love. Yeah, it's like Batman and Joker, just the duality between the two of them. I think it's like the most interesting and dynamic relationship in all comics.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. It's especially when if you've read the story arc of death of the family, where it's the one where, you know, he's cut off his face and reattached it and everything, and he kidnaps every single member of the Batman family because he thinks they're making Batman weak. And he's like, he gets in the whole, they get really into the nitty gritty between the relationship between the two of them, where it's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm never going to kill you, because like what else would I have to live for? You know, you're my everything. But you know, it's like, but I want you to kill me, because if you kill me, I win. I prove to you that I am better. And it's like, I've been right this whole entire time about human nature. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story arc. And it really, like I said, it really gets delves deep into the relationship between the two characters. And I love that.
Well, you know, I got to say, I love the whole Batman mythos. And last year I bought a PlayStation 4 and I got the virtual reality.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the Batman VR game.
Oh, how much fun.
I have not faced the Joker yet, but I did face the Penguin already.
Oh, cool.
It's a fascinating experience to be Batman up against, you know, with all the henchmen and the villains. It's just, wow. I mean, I got done with I only got to the intro. I thought I was done with the game. And it said, oh, now you're just beginning. It's like, I've been working on this for 8 hours.
It's like, fantastic. Even more fun.
It's like, bonus.
Woohoo! Because I like the Arkham games a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
Those were so much fun. And I'm so glad that, you know, they brought back, you know, Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill to do Batman and Joker for those. It was just like, it just made those games so much better. I mean, the play control and everything, the gameplay, I mean, in those was fantastic anyway. But, you know, just adding those great voiceover talents and the great writing they had in there for all the characters, it was just like, but they really did wonders with the Rogues Gallery. I like what I really liked is what they did with Penguin, where they used a bottom of a bottle lodged into his eye as his monocle. I was like, that is awesome. I love that. And then it's Nolan North playing Penguin. It's like a role you've never heard Nolan North do before. It's like, I didn't even know that was him until I saw the credits, because you're so used to the Nathan Drake voice. And it's like, oh, wow. He's Penguin? Holy crap, he's good. Like, he and Troy Baker both are fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sticking with the Batman theme, you was a orderly on Gotham, which in my opinion, Gotham and Hannibal is probably two of the most beautifully filmed TV series ever, just the way their set design is and everything set up. And did you get to see a lot of that when you were on set, like the set design and everything? And was it as beautiful in person as it was on TV?
Oh yeah, it was amazing. It was really cool because, you know, I didn't really get to like be in any of the sets from the real show. You know, they mm-hmm. built sets for the stuff I did, like, you know, the hospital and Slaughter Swamp. I mean, they actually built this swamp out there on Staten Island, because like they had to sink Drew that was playing Solomon Grundy into the swamp. And so they wanted to make sure it was, you know, comfortable for him. So they actually had heated water in there and stuff like that. But it looked like a real swamp. It was like, holy crap, they really built this out here. But it was like, but the coolest thing to me, because the styles of the show was really cool. They did wonders with, you know, the costume design and set design on there. Mm-hmm. And what was really fun is when I went to the studio for my first day, they let me walk around and see all the different sets. And so I got to see, you know, I walk in and I'm standing in the middle of Wayne Manor. I'm just like, my inner kid went nuts. I'm like, I'm in Wayne Manor. Oh, this is awesome. It's one thing just to see it on TV, but to actually just walk in and you're like, oh my God, this is Wayne Manor. Mm. Oh, just like I can die happy right now. This is nice. This is wonderful. It's absolutely. And then like I go upstairs to the dressing room, and you see all the names on the door, and so it's like you see, and they didn't have the actor's name, they had the character name. So you see Bruce Wayne and Alfred Pennyworth, and, you know, Oswald Cobblepot. You're like, ah. And like the dressing room I was in, they had the portrait of Paul Rubens hanging up that they had, you know, where he was Penguin's father in there. So I called it the Pee Wee Suite, and I was like, this is freaking awesome! I get to be in the Pee Wee Suite. I was like, I was like a kid in a candy store on that set. I was like, this is great. And I was like, and I didn't care that, you know, I was only in like two scenes, but I was like, I don't care. I'm part of the Batman mythos now officially. So this is awesome. Yep. I get to create one of the villains. I created Solomon Grundy. I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. That is awesome. Yeah. I'm jealous. I mean, I'd love to step into Wayne Manor.
Oh
man.
My God. It was just so much. It's like my inner kid came out, but that's what was also fun. Cause, you know, I was talking to Drew that, you know, played, Grundy and slash Butch, and he's a huge fanboy himself, so he was telling me all about like when he first got the part, like DC just sent him this huge box of all these Batman comics and toys and everything about Solomon Grundy, so he could just do a lot of research and everything. Right. And his son was going crazy over it. And he's like, no, these are daddy's toys. You stay away.
This is work.
These
son.
Are mine. This is my work. You stay away. So that's what's really cool too, is, you know, seeing the people that are working on it are just big huge fans themselves, so it's just like that just makes it more fun, so people are having fun doing it in that regard, so it's like, yeah,
very cool.
Awesome.
So, yeah, you've played a lot of cool characters and done a lot of cool things that, you know, I wish that I could do. So how did you get started with acting, and let's go back to the how it all happened for you.
Oddly enough, it was church theater of all things, which I think is ironic considering what I do now. It's like, that's not very Christian.
Right. Not even close.
Oh, no, 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 no. So it's just like, but that's what I started doing. And then like when I, you know, growing up, you know, I went to a new school when I went to middle school. So no one knew me. They didn't know the real me. And I was, you know, easily bullied kid in Alabama because I was short at the time, because like I said earlier, you know, I was late bloomer, so I hit puberty a lot later than most people did, so everybody else is taller than me. I had a high-pitched voice. I was still singing soprano in the choir and skinny, and I had braces and glasses, you know, so it's like, oh yeah, you know, easy target, you know, in the land of football. So it's just like, and so I got made fun of a lot. And my mom, you know, at home, I was always joking around, being silly and stuff like that, making up all these crazy characters. My mom's like, have your classmates ever seen this side of you? And I'm like, no, mom, they haven't. They don't want me to talk. They're always making fun of me. They never actually let me be myself. And it's like, well, you got to show them this. David. Yeah, she's like, why don't you audition for your choral program's production of Mickey's Christmas Carol this fall? Because you do a great Mickey Mouse impersonation. So why don't you audition for it? I'm like, you know what? I think I will. So I did. Got cast as Mickey Mouse. And we're doing the show. And everything starts to go wrong on stage. And instead of, like, most kids, especially at that age, just freezing up and going, I just kept going in character and basically made it a stand-up routine. I just started cracking jokes, like when the set fell down. I mean, I said something about, you know, oh, I think we have rats, Mr. Scrooge. Or something, you know, just like crazy stuff like that. And everybody's just laughing. And for the first time at that school, people were laughing with me instead of at me. And I had the control there. I was in control. I had the power, and I was bringing joy to people. I was like, God, I like this feeling. And things kind of clicked in my head. I'm like, I want to do more of this. And so I started getting involved with community theater, did that all through high school. Then I went to college, but I didn't get a degree in theater in college because I was trying to be practical and pragmatic with my life. I was like, you know, I won't be able to support a wife and kids with, you know, possibly with a theater degree, but I love kids and stuff like that. So, you know, I come from a long line of teachers, so I should be a teacher. So I got a degree in elementary education. And then my mom passed away while I was in college. So that kind of changed my whole perspective on life. You know, I realized life is too short not to do the things you want to do. That was like our mm-hmm. last conversation with each other. And I was like, you know what? I think I'd be happier entertaining people for a living. So I'm going to go ahead and give this a shot. So I decided to, you know, I finished up my degree and then I moved up to New York and started auditioning. And it took me about 13 years doing off-Broadway shows and then moving up to doing Broadway tours. And then the audition for Terrifier came along and everything just started falling in place.
Yeah. So you've got to be Art the Clown.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be the Joker.
Yes.
You had a hand in Grundy's creation and demise or whatever. And yep. You've got to play Mickey Mouse.
So. And even cooler too, I think, because yesterday was the 10-year anniversary of when I first went on tour with it. I was the understudy for the Grinch.
Nice.
So I got suit up as the Grinch a few times. And, nice. You know, that's like, yeah, he's such a fun character. I would love to, you know, return to him one day. It's just like he's great.
Yeah. You're a mean one.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Grinch.
Max! Oh, I had fun with that. It was great role. You know, because our Grinch was Stephen Carl, who a lot of people might remember from a show called Lazy Town that was on Nick Jr. and stuff okay. like that. He was a fantastic physical comedian. And so he really taught me a lot being his understudy. So it was basically like, you know, having Chaplin as your mentor. So it was wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, my kids grew up loving Lazy Town. So I've seen a few of those episodes.
Yeah. Oh, he was wonderful. He unfortunately passed away from cancer 2 years ago. And that was a dagger to the heart because it's like Stephen, you know, he was one of those actors that was, you know, just as wonderful on screen as he was off screen. He was just such a kind, generous man. You know, he did a lot for bullying. He had his own campaign against bullying. He is always trying to do things for kids and always trying to educate. And he was just a wonderful man and wonderful talent. It's a shame because I that he died so early in life because I think he had so much further to go career wise. It was like, oh, mm-hmm. such a waste.
You know, you brought up the bullying aspect, David, and I've got to say, you being in the horror genre, mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in the haunted house industry, mm-hmm. Which I just retired from full time, was an actor for years.
Oh, fun.
And I loved every bit of it. And I'm still
God, yes.
prone to bring out a costume every once in a while. but there's an anti-bullying campaign in the haunted house industry called Don't Be a Monster.
Oh, that's cool.
And they send this guy in a very elaborate, looks like Frankenstein costume around to schools to talk about anti-bullying.
Oh, that's great.
And it's a great cause. And that just that you reminded me of that by talking about the bullying, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, I don't think the schools will let Art the Clown come in there and give a speech. Well.
No,
Art the Clown.
Yeah. Oh no, they're like, sir, you got to leave now. We know what you do.
All right. We've heard the stories.
And as far as you mentioned something, you were intrigued by the acting. Yeah, I've been doing it for years. I've played many characters, and there's nothing better than a good scare. As you well know.
Oh yeah, I used to do but way back in the day when I was in college, our fraternity used to do haunts every year. That was our big, huge money maker for our charities and stuff. That every year we would do a big, huge haunted house, and God, that was so much fun. It was I love to scare the crap out of people. It's just so much. Like one time I was like a patient in one of the mental asylum section that we had in there, and I sometimes would just make people break down crying, like grown ass like football players, just like I was like, oh, that was so satisfying to see big guys like that. They're like, you can't scare me, leave me alone, man, let's just stop it. I was like, oh, that was so much fun.
You know, the first time I've done it for years, and I've done it free of charge for years. But in the past 10 or 12 years, I've been, you know, getting paid for it.
Yeah.
And the first year that happened, I'm in my room and I'm ready to scare people. And I just, there's nothing better. Like you said, there's nothing better than scaring somebody. And you get that first scare and the adrenaline hit me, and I'm thinking to myself, I get to have fun. I get to scare the shit out of people, and I get paid for it.
Yeah.
What's the downside to this?
You might lose your voice. That's about it.
I was willing to do it.
Yeah, same here. I was like, this is so much fun. It was. Oh my God. I sometimes just like binge watch videos on YouTube of, you know, people getting scared at these types of things.
Compilations.
Oh
yep.
My God, they're so funny.
Oh yeah.
It's just so funny. I posted one on Facebook a few weeks ago, and it was just hysterical. I rewatched it a few times because I was just cackling. This is great.
Yeah, I was actually watching one at work yesterday. I had some good ones in it.
There's some great reactions in those things.
Well, you know, Donnie used to own a haunted trail.
Yeah, we had one fun. For 2 years, yeah. And then it got shut down. The landowners decided to quit doing it, so we had to shut it down. But
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a blast. And like I said, I'm 6 foot, but I'm, you know, 285, 290 at the time. And I was running full speed after teenagers, you know, because it was outdoors. So we had plenty of space.
Oh, so yeah.
I was like, and I'd get done. And I was like, what was I thinking? I'm too fat for this.
Yeah, I helped out. Well, I didn't really help out but I was a guest for it for a weekend down in North Carolina last year at Pinhead's Graveyard.
Okay.
It was so much fun. It was just because they had me at the end of it where people could, you know, come meet me and get autographs and stuff like that. But then they had a guy dressed as Leatherface right outside waiting with his chainsaw. So, you know, they're all at ease and everything like that. And then all of a sudden people would invariably just run right back into where I am, just scared out there. Was like, no, we're not going out there. because he would be chasing people in the parking lot with that chainsaw, and it was so much fun to watch. I'm just always like, and wait for it. 3, 2, 1. It's like, yep. I loved it. Oh, so much fun.
Oh yeah, they're a blast. And like I said, Jim's he's got the more experience with the haunting. I've only been doing it off and on for like 10 years, and then but my side's the wrestling. But what the wrestle horror concept is in our minds, and in a lot of people's minds, we're finding out that wrestling and horror and haunted attractions are basically one and the same. They all intermingle. You know, it's all live stage performance basically. And then, the haunts, you got the characters, and wrestling, you got the characters, you know, and haunting, you're scaring people, and wrestling, you got your bad guys and your good guys. And, you know, and it's all in one, you know, all one. With your experience with horror filmmaking, do you see any similarities with wrestling and haunting as well? Like, could we say horror and haunted houses and wrestling are all three one and the same?
Definitely. Especially with the horror and the wrestling, because like I look at some of the, you know, in part two, I got to do a lot more fight choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a lot of that I was just having to like, okay, this is what they do in wrestling, you know, with the, you know, slamming people into things, you know, like you don't have a turnbuckle instead it's like a doorway or something like that. And it's like, God, I mean, I would, at the end of the night, I would be bruised up, and you know, the next day I'll be sore, and I'm like, man. Damn, I was like, you know, but it makes me think. It's like, if I'm that sore just for doing that, I can only imagine how it is, you know, when you're doing wrestling and stuff that. It's just like, because you know that fight choreography is just, oh my God, when you know people jumping off the, you know, the turnbuckles and you know doing this, just oh my God, some of the stunts I see, I'm like, that's insane that a body can do that,
right?
Like, and that's why, you know, it's been a while because I don't have cable TV anymore, so it's been a while since I watched wrestling. But it's like back in the day when I'd watch it, I would just love watching it just for the fights, because like these are so freaking entertaining. This is great.
Yeah, and like I said, back in when I was active until around 2001, 2002, and then I had to stop from injury and family life and all that. But I was more into like the hardcore stuff when I did it, because it was back when like the ECW was popular and all that. Yeah. So, I mean, I actually got to do both of my loves, and it's probably why I did hardcore now that I think about it, is because like every match I was always bleeding for some reason. I mean, I started bleeding one time. I was in a barbed wire match, and I rolled under the bottom rope to get in the ring, and I sliced my hand open on the barbed wire. So before the match even started, I was bleeding. Now that I think of it, yeah, that's actually probably why I got into the hardcore stuff, just because it was blood and guts. And
yeah. Oh my gosh, it's just fun. It's fun.
So, Art the Clown, I have to ask this. You mentioned that you guys worked on developing the character together.
Correct.
How do you see, I mean, how much of Art is you?
I would say there's a good bit of me in the characters. It's like, I would say, especially with the humor, that I kind of have a dark sense of humor too. So that's definitely in, you know, that part of me. I'm like, I'm not the type of person that to chain someone up and hang it upside down and come by the. So that's purely Art there. So it's like, right. yeah. The playful humor side, I would say, is a lot of me though, because I'm like that on set anyway. I'm like, I'm always cracking jokes and, you know, playing around and stuff like that. So I try to keep things light and fun as much as possible.
I mean, I find Art a fascinating character in and of himself. I mean, and I was just curious at how much of David was in there. I mean, and by the way, you know, you play a clown, and I'm wearing a T-shirt that says Last Carnival.
I'm actually wearing a Batman shirt too. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
it's just all coming together, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It is.
One thing we like to do here on the Wrestle Horror Podcast is we like to pull a piece of information or a golden nugget of information off of each of our guests. So if there could, you know, like I said, and we'll use the acting, we'll go with the acting because we haven't really asked many acting questions with our guests. But what could, like, wrestlers with their character development or their character performance, as well as haunt actors with their character development, character performance, could you give some advice to help them, you know, to where they could maybe come up with an idea or brainstorm, or how they could get into their mindset of becoming their character? What kind of tips and tricks do you use?
Well, first of all, I like to come up with the backstory. And like I said, you know, that's the first thing I asked Damien, you know, I was like, what's the backstory and everything like that. So I like to develop that, so I know where the character is in my head. So I have a preliminary, like, okay, this is who he is, blah, blah, blah. And usually I couldn't do this with Art, but most characters, I develop the voice as well, first of all. And it seems like once I figure out how the character should sound, it seems like everything else kind of falls in place afterwards. Everybody, every actor has their own way of doing this. This is my approach. But it seems like once I have the voice, my mannerisms all come into play. You know, how I stand, how I act, you know, my cadence, everything just falls into place. And also when I get the costume on, that's when everything fully comes in. It's like with me in art, as soon as I'm in makeup and everything, I can easily, boom, become art. That just like, it all falls into place very easily. I put as soon as that hat's in place, I'm good to go. So that's one thing I would suggest is like develop a backstory and stuff like that. Even if you never reveal it to anybody else, at least for yourself, know where your character comes from and what their motivations are, and you know, what their goals are as well. And it's one thing I also do with art, because he doesn't talk. Even though I don't have any written dialogue, I always have dialogue in my head that I think he's saying. So like when I'm acting everything out, I'm actually saying stuff in my head as the character.
Yeah, I can see that during the film, because you do portray stuff without saying words, but it looks like you're actually saying them when you bring them out. So yeah, that makes complete sense.
And I've got to say thank you for emphasizing the backstory, because that's a thing I firmly believe in. I trained haunt actors for 10 years. Yeah. And one thing I always told them to do was write a backstory, know your character.
Yeah.
And I've got probably about 10 characters, and I have a backstory for every single one of them.
Yeah.
And it makes things so much easier.
Oh, it really does. And it's like, and I don't probably go as crazy as some people. I know some people that write, you know, their whole entire life story out, and I'm like, that's woo. It's like I just have to have a preliminary idea of, you know, what made them become where they are and all that kind of stuff. So it's like I get that question a lot. It's like, why does Art do what he does? And I can't reveal that to anybody, of course, but it's like but it's like, I know why he does what he does.
That's what's important.
And it's pretty messed up too.
that's what makes art scary, is you don't know why he's doing what he's doing.
Right.
So and speaking
that
scene, of
oh, that scene, I'm sorry, that scene still makes me shudder. It does. I mean,
as it should, because that's not normal.
And it's hard to scare me.
Also, you usually don't see those type of scenes in horror films anymore. No. It's just like they usually see the first whack on the victim, and then they cut away, and then you might see the aftermath. You don't see the actual kill happen. You don't see the person being put through, you know, pain and misery. Because that's what gets people, seeing the reaction of what is actually happening to the victim. That's where it's like, especially for those that are those empaths out there, that's hard for them. That's I think that's what's kind of fun too, is just like, oh my god, we are showing that stuff. Is I remember when I got the script for Terrifier 1, is I read the whole hacksaw scene, I'm like, oh my god. And I just thought, okay, this is just Damien describing what's going on off screen. And I asked him, and he's like, oh, no, we're going to show all of that. I'm like, oh, my God. Really? Oh, my gosh. That's going to be fun. Yeah,
that's basically what my reaction when I first saw it, because I thought just like you, when you first started, I was like, okay. And then it kept going, and I seen the guts fall out, and I was like, whoa, what the? And then after it was all done, I was like, that was awesome.
It's
like,
it's just mean. it's mean. It's just, and that's how, you know, art is. Like, he's having fun, but what he's doing is so mean. It's just like, it's so mess. And you definitely see it in part two. It's just like we've had those times when we're filming these kills, we're just like, it's especially when they're only showing my hands and they're not doing sound, so I can sit there and I'm commenting the whole entire time. I'm like, oh, this is gross. Oh god.
You need a blooper reel for that.
oh yeah there's one scene in particular that happens in part two where I like the stuff I'm touching, I'm just like, ooh.
You know, I got to tell you, before we went on the air, before we brought you online, Donnie and I were talking about Terrifier. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him that before I saw Terrifier, the best cinematic kill that I loved was in 13 Ghosts when the lawyer got split in half by the glass doors.
Yes, I know. Oh, I love that kill.
But that was before I watched Terrifier. And that one's at the top of the list right now. It's like, you can't, that's going to be a tough one to beat. I mean, I didn't think you could beat the lawyer, but it happened.
That was such a satisfying kill, that just slice and you just see the brain in there. It's just like, that was such a good kill. That's a movie people forget about. That was I really enjoyed, because that's one of those things too, is like they didn't really expand on the characterizations of the ghosts in that movie, but they did, like when you look off on the creators actually did have backstories for every single one of those ghosts, which I thought was really cool. Yep. And it's like, when you look them up, they're like, those are messed up backstories. Oh my God.
Yeah. They had a bunch of that stuff on the DVD special features and stuff.
Yeah. I loved it. And it's like the character designs for those ghosts too were just fantastic. It was, that was a fun film. That's the thing. It's like, I like these horror films that realize what they are and they just have fun with it. It's just we know what we are. We're not trying to be, Oscar winning performance or over here. We're not trying to be, one of those like thought provoking metaphysical type of stories. Like, we're just going to have fun. We're going to tell a scary story and have fun with it.
That's all about.
I'm sorry, Donnie, I interrupted you earlier. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. I was just saying, that's what it was all about, was having fun with it.
Yeah.
I stepped on you and it's like, I'm sorry. I don't usually
I got my question out. I'm good.
You're fine.
Yeah, I have a question for every show that I ask, but I feel kind of dumb asking you of all people. I'm gonna go ahead and lay it on you anyway. So my question I ask everybody, whether they're a wrestler, hunter, or whatever, is: you are the main character in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
Oh my God! Oh, I'm just like, man. I would say, I'm gonna go with Art, of course, and I say, because everybody thinks a hacksaw, but really, I think his go-to weapon of choice is his flail.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, because I think that's his special weapon, because you see him crafting it at the beginning of the movie. And what people don't realize too is like every single one of those ropes on there is not rope. That's human hair. That's the hair of his victims that he's using to make those strands that all those weapons are tied onto, all the blades and everything like that. It's such a messed up weapon too, because it's like all those, all these rusty blades, scissors and scalpels and everything, syringes and whatever. It's like whatever he thinks is, sharp, he will put onto this thing and just whip it at people. And it's like that's got to be such a slow, painful way to go. That's not a quick death if you're getting flailed by that thing. That's just like, oh God.
Yeah, when he was using it on the one victim's sister and stuff, you could just see she sold it good, like acting it out good, sold it good. You could see the pain and agony in her face.
She was in pain. She was in pain, because it's like they had the rubber on there, I wasn't hitting her with real blades. We were using rubber ones, but still, that stings.
Right.
Right.
I've gotten to experience it myself. It's like, ooh, ow. Ooh. But she was like, it's just like, it's okay. It gives me something to react off of. So it's like, when you see her really wincing in pain and screaming in pain, that was real. I'm like, oh God. It was like, and when we finished, I'm like, are you okay? I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Oh, she's like, no, I'm okay. I'm like, I'm sorry. Which probably looked really funny when I'm covered in blood and I have that makeup on.
So, right. Art the clown apologizing. Oh, this has been fun. Mm-hmm. Donnie, do you have any final questions for David?
Yeah, I just wanted to check in and see what he's got coming down the road here. I'm looking at a couple things, and they look very interesting. Of course, Terrifier 2, I'm definitely looking forward to.
Right.
And then you got, looks like you got three more that got listed here, the Dark Offerings.
Yeah. I filmed that a few weeks ago. It's a horror film that's been filmed exclusively over Zoom during COVID. Which kinda is kind of
like what
cool.
We're doing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that was fun. I'm at the beginning of the film. They're like, because some of the people that are in it, you know, work on Terrifier as well. And they're like, Dave, we should have you in this somehow. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'd love to come in for like a day or something like that. It's like, okay. So they created a little part for me and stuff like that. So I'm like, ah, cool.
Nice.
So that should be, I don't know exactly when that's coming out, but it should be coming out sometime soon. And so in January, I start filming another indie film called Time's Up. Mm-hmm. And it's, and Time's Out. I'm having a brain fart. Oh my God, Damien Fay, don't kill me. But it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm totally blanking now. I'm like, is it Time's Up or Time's Out?
Time's
Up. Okay, good. I was right the first time. Okay, yeah. Jesus. Oh my God.
He's going to get one you for things. That one.
Yeah, I know. He's got, especially if you know Damien, he's very sarcastic. So it's just like, it's Damien Mayfay, who's from Strangers 2, Prey at Night, and also Haunt. He was the devil in Haunt.
Okay.
And so he and LC Holt from You're Next, which I see the mask right behind you. Mm-hmm. And Felissa Rose is in that as well. And okay. they approached me with it. It was like, hey, we want you to be another fun little character in this. So I play this janitor, that little creepy little sleazy janitor in it. So it's going to be a lot of fun to film. And then I leave that to go film what we're hoping is going to be another trilogy or a franchise called Stream, which has got a lot of big names in the horror industry involved. A lot of them I can't divulge yet, but I can say that Jeffrey Combs is playing the main bad guy in it, which is kind of cool.
I like Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm like, he's such a great character actor, so I'm excited to be able to watch him work. Because that's why I love working with people like that, because I look at it as a learning experience. That's what I love about this career. It's like one of those few careers where you can essentially plagiarize other people. Because every actor I work with, I try to take something from them and learn something from them. And I put in my little Rolodex in my head. So I'm looking forward to like working with a lot of these esteemed, you know, horror actors that I've grown up watching in films. And like, oh man, I almost feel like I don't deserve to be among them in this film. So it's going to be really exciting to work with them all. And I get to play one of the bad guys in that too. So it's going to be fun.
Oh, I'm anxious to see that.
Yeah, very cool. A lot of good stuff coming down the pipeline, it looks like.
Yes, indeed. I'm excited. It's like, looks like it, so far it's looking, hopefully, knock on wood, that 2021 is going to be a lot better than 2020.
Let's hope so. I'm about done with this year.
Oh, fuck this year. Fuck this year. God. It's like, I'm so tired of my apartment. It's like, I have been in here for like 8 months. I'm ready to like get out and do stuff again. I miss doing conventions and all that. It's like, I was supposed to do the Vegas convention last month and ended up canceling because it just wasn't safe. I didn't feel like it was safe to fly around because I saw all the cases rising. I'm like, this is probably not good. I don't want to risk it because, especially having to go back and film, we have some members of the crew that, you know, at risk health-wise, and I don't want to. Damon and I both talked about it. We're like, we don't want to risk, you know, passing this on to people that, you know, might not survive this if they catch it. So it was like, okay, we got to pull out, and it sucked because I was like, man, it's Vegas. But at the same time, it's like, we don't want our first time to be in Vegas to be like, you know, COVID Vegas. We want to do Vegas right, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want the full Vegas.
We want the full Vegas experience. It's like, okay, there's always opportunities in the future. So it's like, we'll do it one day. But man, I miss doing the conventions. It's just, I miss hanging out with everybody and just partying and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, we've been missing conventions on both sides since we're both horror and wrestling fans. It's like this year we did what? Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. We had three lined up and had to cancel all three of them.
Right.
Such a bummer. It's just like I did my last one in March and I'm like, I've been in withdrawal since. It's like, it was down in Pittsburgh and I was like, man.
Like, have you done any of the Days of the Dead conventions?
Yes, yes, yeah. I love doing those. It's a lot of fun. It's a great group of people, like Bill and his team of people. I have so much fun working with them. Because Bill's wife does a lot of horror films as well.
Right.
Yeah, Julianne. And she's great. And it's just a good bunch of people. And they throw a good party, too.
Yeah. That's important.
That's actually the one I had to, you know, cancel was the one they did that in Vegas.
One in Vegas. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I was like, man, because that's also where Bill lives. So like he has his own like store there, like a comic book type toy type store, you know, collectibles. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to go in there and see everything. I hear it's insane. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah. We're ready to get back to the convention circuit too. So tell people how they can find out more about David Howard Thornton or Art the Clown.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram under David Howard Thornton, and they also have a full Terrifier fan club page on Facebook where they usually update everybody on everything too. They have two, actually. They have the official Terrifier 2 Facebook page, and they also have the Art the Clown Appreciation Society on there as well, which has got a growing member base. I think they had planned a big huge get together this year, but we had to cancel because of COVID, and it's going to be in Salem, but we're hoping to do it next year in Salem as well, which should be a lot of fun. So
Salem's fun.
Oh, I've always wanted to go because I got to go to the Witchcraft Museum.
It's amazing. I went there back in 2006. I went there.
Ah, fine. I'm such a huge history buff too, so I'm like, and I did a research paper back in the day about the Salem witch trials, which is there. It's so crazy all the stuff that went on during that. It is.
You will definitely appreciate visiting the city. Oh, absolutely,
definitely.
It's fun. It really is. It's the only place where witches can walk around and not worry about people griping at them.
Yeah, true.
Well, there's a couple other places, but Salem mainly.
Yeah.
So, David, it has been wonderful chatting with you. Thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to see Terrifier 2. I'm going to rewatch. I haven't watched Terrifier in a little while, so I'm going to rewatch it. But I can't remember. I can't forget that kill scene. I mean,
that lingers with you.
It does. It does, because it's my top kill scene now.
Yes.
And it has been for 3 years. Yeah. So, again, you know, thank you for coming on Wrestle Horror. For Donnie Hoover, our special guest, David Howard Thornton, Art the Clown. If you haven't watched Terrifier, why not? Yeah, this is Meat Hook Jim for the Wrestle Horror Podcast, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets: facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.